It's such a joy to be gathered with you today to worship Christ. I love Christmas. Merry Christmas. Our God has never left us alone, but Christ came at just the right time, was born into the world, died the death of a sinner for all of us, He rose again. And this is why we gather together and worship. And so it is such a joy every week for us to worship together. I should apologize this morning if you're a little chilly. The heater is in fact not working today. So for some of you, that's all right, and you came prepared, and for others, I apologize. I'll direct your attention back to that Sunday back in July when we were over in the sanctuary and the air conditioner was out. So just remember that, or just be warmed by the gospel today, all right? Or cuddle up next to somebody next to you and get ready, because today we're going to read out of Scripture. Great news. Today we'll be in Matthew chapter 2. So open Scripture with me. There's a Bible in the chair in front of you, and I'm reading out of the exact same Bible. If you're using a digital Bible, this is the CSB translation. And the Bible in front of us, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, which is on page 885. Matthew chapter 2, 885. How do you respond when Jesus Christ comes into the world, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, when you're moving along and everything's perfectly normal and it's going how you expected in life, and then suddenly Christ appears? Let's say you are astrologers in the East, as we sang about in the first Noel, as we're going to read about today, and suddenly you see this star and you know what it means. Let's say you are these Jewish priests and scribes, and you hear this news, and you look into Scripture to see what it means. Perhaps you are this local ruler, Herod, and you hear this news and contemplate what you are going to do because of it. Today, in our reading of Scripture, we see these three different groups of people and how they respond to the news that Jesus Christ has been born into the world. We will talk about, for each of us in our lives, that time in which Christ comes powerfully into our lives, even if we were surprised by it, like Herod seems to be. Well, let's pray together and let's read Scripture. Father God, I pray that the reading of Your Word and the hearing of Your Word would be worship to You today. Father, put Your Spirit on us to teach us something new about You so that we can worship You better. Jesus Christ, You are Lord. This I pray in Your name. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and asked them where the Christ would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." And after hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. And it led them until it came and it stopped above the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling on their knees, they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. The word of the Lord today. We have these three groups. We have these Eastern wise men, astrologers, whatever they are, these ones who look to the stars. We've got the Jewish scribes and priests here mentioned, and we have Herod himself, the local ruler. And each one of them hears about the birth of Christ in their own way, and each one responds differently as well. First, these wise men, these Eastern astrologers, where are they from exactly? The East. The East is a big place from Jerusalem. There's a lot of space that way. I looked it up on a map from Jerusalem to Chengdu. That's central China, just not even all the way to the coast of China. And China's enormous. It's about 4,000 miles. So how far away do they come from? A couple hundred miles? A couple thousand miles? From how far away did these gentlemen see this star, see this sign, and know from it that they were to go and to worship here because a king was born at that time? I mean, who knows? And yet they came. What's more inspiring here is not that these wise men came, but that God called them. That God sent his sign. God sent this star that far away to gather people to worship Christ as Lord. Understand that from the very beginning, in Christ's coming, God's desire was that all people should know about him. Look at who was brought to worship Christ. Look at who was told about it. Some shepherds in a field. There'd be those on a very low economic basis. And these wise men, perhaps the wealthiest of all in their country, and yet from so far away. It doesn't matter who you are or where you were born. Rather, Jesus Christ has come into the world to pay for your sins and be your Lord. And we see it from this star, even at the beginning of Christ's birth, this good news is for all men. This good news is for all people, that they could hear and worship Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, sometimes going on mission trips can make you feel very small. When you leave your own home environment and you fly off or drive off to a faraway place, you arrive in a whole other place and you see how many people there are there and how big the task is, and you go, well, I'm here. Gee, I can share the gospel with a couple people this week, and then I've got to go back home, and then there's still so many more people. Even simply traveling can make you feel so small when you see how many people there are out there going about their lives, and then you go back home to your life, and we all sort of can feel like we have this just little life here, and that it has little to do with what's going on out there in the rest of the world. When you are traveling on mission trip or otherwise, and when you feel this feeling of smallness, I want you to rather not think of yourself, but think about God and His largeness. There are just that many people out there. There are just that many miles to cover, many towns and cities all over the world. Though we may feel small, take a moment to contemplate the largeness of God, that He has cared specifically about every single one of them, that He has had it in His heart, in His mind, to have you in His mind as well as every single other person out there in every town, in every village, in every tribe, in every nation. When you go and you travel and you think, and when you think about these wise men who traveled from I don't know how far away, recognize the greatness of God, that He has cared about each and every one of them. This is our God. Not that we are small in our own eyes, but He has loved us greatly in His eyes. Such is the grace and the glory of our God. Also, you need to do what God does here. That is, He sends His sign, and then He will send His witnesses out to all nations, all over the place. So likewise, we who are gathered here today, we go. And we go ourselves as missionaries. We send others out to proclaim the greatness of God all over the world. As small as we are, it's incredible the amount of work we get to do. We little old Talitha Baptist Church, you know, little old farm church down here on the south side of town, We've had the honor of getting to share the gospel with people in many countries, all around the world. We've sent people from this church, many cities, all around America. People have gotten to hear the gospel through the members of this church, such as the glory of God. We go out like that star announcing that Jesus Christ has been born into the world, that God Himself has cared about every person, and that if they will call Him Lord, they too can have His forgiveness and experience His favor and His peace. Such is our joy to get to do. We're doing this right now and planning our San Francisco mission trip. We're going to send a team of people, hopefully, to the San Francisco Bay Area, East Bay side of that area. In July, there are so many people there from all over the world who have moved to that area. And there are so few people there proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and all the joy that they could have. But we, as a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, we have some missionaries there. And we're going to get to go and join in with those missionaries who are there who have started churches and get to go around and share the gospel with people and let them know there's a church that they can come worship with. So I ask you today, who's going? Who will go and be a star in San Francisco in July? We're also working on a trip that I hope we'll make to Panama next fall. Further on, the details on this one are still being developed. Deanna Braswell is leading the San Francisco one. Charlotte and Trevor are going to be working together on the trip to Panama if it can make out. We had this idea that little old us, we could probably, given enough time, somebody from our church could have shared the gospel with somebody in every country in Central America. Wouldn't that be neat to be able to say, hey, I'm a part of a church, and just little old us, we were able to share the gospel with somebody in every country who now believes in Christ. When Christ returns, there may be somebody from every one of those countries who is there worshiping with the saints, a saint themselves, because we went and told them. We acted like this star. Who needs to go? Who is God calling? Who will go and share the gospel with one of our IMB missionaries who's in Panama? We're partnering up with an International Mission Board missionary there to go. We're also right now collecting our Lottie Moon offering, our Christmas offering. This goes directly to those IMB missionaries, both in Panama and in the rest of the world. We, the Southern Baptist Convention, are the largest missionary organization in the history of the world. We have well over 4,000 missionaries out in the field all over the world, just us little Baptist churches all around here in America who have sent missionaries and have sent funds. I'd like for you to take that Lottie Moon offering, fill it out, find a place to put it afterwards. We've already sent the plate around today, but participate in this Sunday, next Sunday. There's a place to join in this offering. Charlotte Moon herself, who went by Lottie, she went to China. That's where she lived her life, was as a missionary in China, telling people about Jesus Christ as Lord. There's wonderful symmetry to this. How you've got these wise men from the East. Where in the East? There's a lot of East between Jerusalem and Japan, Taiwan, as far east, the Philippines, as far east as you can go. There's Iran, there's Afghanistan, Mongolia, India, all these. Where did these guys come from? I don't know, but God called them, announced to them that Jesus Christ was coming. And so likewise, Lottie Moon went to China to announce to them that Jesus Christ was born. Likewise, we go out telling people that Jesus Christ is born. I do want to turn and look into our own hearts here. My expectation from reading this passage is not necessarily that these wise men became Christians here. It seems to me that these are astrologers from another country who have gods, who worship lots of them, who saw a star, and so they were by their own admission looking for the King of the Jews, and they were going to go worship this King of the Jews. But at no point do you really think from reading this passage that they are only ever going to worship the King of the Jews. It's like they saw a sign, okay, a new king that we are to go worship, we'll go worship that one. And then they're looking over here in these lands for this one that they're going to go worship that one. And add on in a very Eastern way to their pantheistic beliefs one more god that they can make an altar to, just like they made an altar to that god and that god and that god, and worship this one as well. I ask you today, is this your life? I mean, have you heard of Jesus Christ? And so you made room for him in your life right over here. and yet you live in these other realms in life that you make sure have nothing to do with Christ. It's like you have the God of this day of the week, and then the God of this day of the week, and the God of that day of the week. You have the God in this area of your life, but definitely not in this area of your life. I mean, have you just added Jesus Christ as one of the gods in your life? I tell you, Christ will not be satisfied unless he is the God over all of your life. What other realms, what other areas of your life do you need to let Christ into? When I'm out with my family participating in whatever it is we do with our children, soccer practice, birthday parties, even just going to the school in order to spend a day being one of the watchdogs, one of the watch dads, and high-fiving kids, I get to run into other parents and letting them know I'm a pastor and telling them, you know, the church that I pastor in and inviting them to church. I sometimes see in these parents' minds, you know, who have very young children who are now in their first child or their second child, trying to raise up this child and give it a full education and make sure the child understands and can participate in everything. Sometimes when I invite them to church, I see the expression on their face thinking, yes, you're right. That needs to be one of the other areas of involvement I get my child into. We should probably, how can I clear the schedule to add into the other things that we have in our child's life also Christ as one of the areas? We've got the Boy Scouts, we've got soccer practice, we've got this after school club. We also need to make sure we do church so that they can get that part, so they can be a well-rounded child. I almost see in their minds working out, how do we add Jesus Christ as one of the gods in our family? Christ has come to be the God of your entire life. Our basic Christian confession is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my entire life. God has loved me at all times and in all ways, and so I will love Christ as my Lord completely. And this takes our attention to these priests, these scribes, it says here in this passage. Herod hears about these wise men coming. And he, along with Jerusalem, it says, they're all a bit disturbed, deeply disturbed by this news. So Herod goes over to the guys who are supposed to know Scripture well, the priests, the scribes, and he says to them, do you guys know anything about this? Can you go look in the book? Can you go look it up and see what are we supposed to know about this? Where is this supposed to be happening? This star, apparently for the wise men and not for them. And yet, these priests, these scribes have a clear and correct answer for Herod. They know Scripture that well. He goes to these people who are to know Scripture, and they've done their job. They know Scripture and are able to say very clearly to him, here's the prophecy from the Old Testament about where this king of the Jews is going to be born. It's a little shocking, isn't it? They know Scripture, but they don't necessarily know Christ. This is a problem. I know of a professor who has all of the Psalms memorized, all 150 of them in Scripture. You could be like, that's easy, I've got the 23rd Psalm, pretty much. Yeah, there's 150 of them, and some of them are long. He has them all memorized because when he was a child, he grew up in a Brethren Mennonite community. And so, in church on Sunday, since they're very, very strict, what kind of songs did they sing? Just the Psalms. Those are the songs in Scripture. They thought it was inappropriate to sing all these other songs we do. I'm glad that we also have some other songs that we get to sing inspired by Scripture. But kind of neat then, if you just sing through the Psalms every Sunday, at some point by the time you turn 18 or you move on and become an adult, if you grew up in that and sang them every Sunday, you might just have all 150 of them memorized. I mean, it sounds like a big task, but you probably know most of the words to about 150 songs at least, right? What an impressive thing. And yet, it wasn't until after that he actually came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You can know Scripture and not know Christ. And yet, knowing Scripture is the way in which we know Christ. God has spoken into our lives. God has given us His Word here. This book, not like other books, is so that we can believe. As a matter of fact, how do you go about believing? It's sort of the central verse for our lives together at this church is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. How do you go about getting faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So on the one hand, while you can know Scripture and not know Christ, you cannot know Christ without knowing Scripture. It is of central importance to us. This is why our children in children's worship right now are learning the books of the Bible through song. How many of you know the books of the Bible in song? How many of you can sing? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and the Letters of the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, right? Yeah, I can too, and I still cannot find books without singing it through in my head. Just like I can't go through the church directory without singing the alphabet song, you know? But the odds are, if you know those books of the Bible, and so you're able to quickly move around in Scripture, it's because you know them in song. And so we have our children singing these things and learning them in song. I'm really excited about our new children's Sunday night curriculum. Right now, they're doing children's musical. Tonight, they'll be done with children's musical. And then when we start again doing children's worship, children's program on Sunday night in the spring in January, we'll start with a program that has them learning scriptural truth all year round in song. They have their Bible lesson every Sunday night. They'll have some activities, but the priority is them learning truth and being able to sing new songs that teach them about who Jesus Christ is, how much God loves them. And I'm all excited about it because I know that through Scripture they can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And yet I ask you today, apparently there's a chance that you might know Scripture and not know Jesus Christ as Lord. Examine yourself and your heart today. Do you know about Christ? But rather, do you know Christ? Our God who is ever present with us. Our Lord who is here now, who sees what's going on in your life, who wants you to speak to Him, to call out to Him in prayer. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? It begins with belief and what is said right here. And it begins with devotion to these things, but not just knowing the Psalms, having sung them and prayed them to Christ our Lord. Do you know Christ today? If not, the relationship begins with you confessing Him as Lord and offering your entire life to Him. Finally, we have in this passage the response of Herod, who is a local ruler. He is not Caesar. He is not over all of the Roman Empire, but he is over this little area. He gets to rule in his little corner. He has his little silo, his little fiat of land, and he gets to take care of it, and he gets to be called king. And he doesn't want that threatened by anyone, including Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He's threatened by this. And he's threatened by this news. And so he devises this plan. And his plan is to ask these wise men, so how long ago did that star appear? In essence, how long you been walking? So how old is this child going to be? Because as we read in the very next passage, Herod's plan is to kill all the children of that age. He is so threatened by this coming Messiah that he will do this great evil and kill all of these children up to a certain age in order to try and get rid of this king who is threatening him. I tell you indeed, if you have your identity set up in power, in a certain place of authority, then Christ's reign is a threat to you. Christ will only accept us if we accept Him as our Lord and Savior completely. So if you were hoping to hold on to some small piece of authority, if you were hoping to hold on to some little kingdom of your own where you could be in charge, then Christ is a threat to you. But He's also a loving Savior to you. And what good is it for you to keep something for yourself but to lose your soul, to lose eternal life? I tell you, it's no good for you. Whatever it is that you have in life, wherever you take your self-esteem from, whatever activity or leadership or silo or ministry or area that is yours, give it to Christ today. We as Christians, we're not threatened by Christ. It is our joy to become lesser in order that He might become greater. We, the Baptists who are in the model of John the Baptist, who came proclaiming that Jesus was going to come, who John had all these disciples gathered to him and all these crowds around him as he was proclaiming to make straight the ways of the Lord because Jesus is coming. And then John, who, when Jesus comes, the crowds start to depart from him and go to follow Jesus. His own disciples start to leave him to go follow after Christ. And John says, good. I was to become less so that he could be more glorified by all these people. It is for this very reason I came, not to be known, but that he could be known. We all have a desire to be known for something, to be remembered. We have these heroes in the faith out there. We have our Lottie Moons, who it's right to appreciate them, and who we would love to be and appreciated by somebody else. You know, I tell you, when Christ returns, on that day when Christ returns and all the saints rise from the dead and we are gathered up with them, when the awards are handed out, you know, I wonder if none of us will know the names of some of the people who did the most for Christ. That we simply won't know who else went to China in order to share the gospel there. I was talking with a guy, I got to share a gospel with a guy, a doctor over in Augusta who I was selling some stuff to on Craigslist. He was Chinese, I got to share the gospel with him. And he was not a believer, but he said his mother was back in China. His mother was a part of a secret church, a little Bible study, and wasn't allowed to tell anybody, and had to be very careful about who they invited to their Bible study because it was not legal for them to be having it. How many more people are out there that we never knew anything about and that we don't know anything about now, but they've given their entire lives to let other people know that Jesus Christ is Lord? We must become less and he must become more. I tell you, congregation, we as a church can never become territorial over ministries, over areas of service. It always has to be our delight only that we got to be a part. When it's time to transition or when it's time to change, we don't get to be territorial about it. We don't get to say, hey, look what I did. Wait, that's where I get my self-esteem. Who am I if I'm not doing this ministry? You are Christ's, and you are still an evangelist to go and tell others about the Lord. We take our self-esteem from Christ, not from what we get to do for him. Rather, we have this ongoing prayer together, and that is, thank you so much for letting me get to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. Amen. It's such a joy. I don't care so much about success. I'm just so glad that you let me be a part of what you're doing, Christ. Isn't it a joy to get to be a part of the work of the Lord? He must become greater, and we must become less. So I call you today to do these things. First of all, do not receive Christ like the astrologers who simply add him as one of many of the things, the gods that they worship. Rather, worship Christ exclusively and completely. Do not receive Christ like the priests and the scribes who know the Bible but refuse to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Rather, know Christ. Go to him and be known by him. Do not receive Christ like King Herod, who was threatened by Christ. Rather, make yourself less unknown and unacknowledged for the sake of Jesus Christ's name being known and acknowledged in the whole world. Father God, what a joy it is to get to be a part of what you're doing. I thank you that you let me even get to be a part of it. Father God, I thank you that you've never left us alone, but you've always been with us. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is with us now. I thank you that you hear us when we pray. Christ, come soon and set right all that is wrong in the world. Until that day, we will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord all over the world. We love you, Jesus. Now accept this song as worship. As I pray in your name, amen.